tonight to Nehemiah chapter number 9. Nehemiah chapter number 9. Nehemiah chapter number 9. I'm going to ban that 11th commandment, thou shalt give people time to find their place. What somebody told me one time the 11th commandment was. So I'm kind of doing that tonight. Stand, please. We'll start reading at verse number 6. Forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gave us him the name of Abraham, and found us his heart faithful before thee, and made us a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and Amorites, the Perizzites and Jebusites and Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous. We'll stop reading there. And keep your Bibles open. We'll look at some other scriptures here tonight, the Lord willing, in this chapter. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege that we have to be in the house of God tonight and open the Word of God. I thank you for the singing of the songs. And Lord, what a dear friend you have been. I praise your name for who you are. And you're the Lord of lords and certainly created everything and preserveth all things. And we bow our heads before a living, holy God and confess unto you that you are our Savior and our Lord and our Father, that we are to submit ourselves unto your authority and thy precious word. So I pray you make the word precious to us tonight and seal it to our hearts and help us, Lord, as we try to study for a few minutes and share a few thoughts, and I pray the Holy Spirit would make it real to us, and we'll thank you and praise you. And all that you do, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, we started a message on this subject, what are we going to do now? And we was talking about at the end of Jubilee, what are we going to do now? And last week, we talked about continuously receiving our cleansing. And we read those first few verses and talked about how they stood for 3 hours and read in the Word of God. And then they'd still stand and they'd confess and worship. And they got into it. They found the Word. They took the Word. They had Ezra reading the Word. And they were into the Word of God and having great, undoubtedly, conviction because they were confessing their sin. And they were worshiping God. And you'll never worship God right unless you confess sin right. And that we need to understand and see that. And so that's what we talked about last week. But tonight, I want to talk for a few minutes on this subject. We need to conscientiously review our calling. And when I say that our calling, I'm not talking about necessarily called to preach or called to sing or called to do a certain thing, but as Christian people, we all are called people, and we've been called out. I'm glad, thank God, that we have been called out, and we're going to talk about that tonight. We'll talk about our position, first of all, but before we say talk about our position, let's talk about his position. Back to verse number 6 again. Even thou art Lord alone. I want to read that verse again because of the greatness of the verse and what it says. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven, the heavens. And that means all of them, with all their host, everything there is out there, and the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is in them, therein. And thou preservest them all. He's the one that keeps everything in balance. He does what he does. And he created it and he knows how to handle it. And the host of heaven worshipeth thee. He's saying there that God's great and how great thou art is a song that comes to my mind right now. How great God really is, we can never comprehend. But he's Lord of all. Everything that you look out some night, and look at the starry heavens and see all that you see. He created it. He put everyone in place, knows them all by name, and knows exactly what's there, knows exactly what they're doing, why they're there, and all purpose of them. He knows every fish and every sea. He knows where they are. He knows everything, every animal on the earth. And people can cry what they want to cry, but God's the one that preserves life. And God's the one that keeps things going. And God's the one that's got it under control. And he's going to keep everything going like it is until he wants it to stop it. And he'll stop it when he wants to. If it's a species or if it's a situation, if it's a country or if it's a family or if it's a man or a woman, boy or girl, he can stop anything he wants to, anytime he wants to. And we all are living tonight by the grace of God. You breathe because God gave you breath. I'm trying to tell you tonight, he's a great God. I'm trying to tell you how great he is. He is Lord of all. He's Lord of all, Lord of lords, and King of kings. He is absolutely the absolute. And so we need to worship and adore him. And look at the verse 8, the latter part of that verse, last couple of phrases there. And has performed thy words, for thou art righteous. He performs what he says he'll do, he'll do, and he does. And so he's a great God. Now let's look at verse number 7. Thou art the Lord, the God who didst choose Abram and broughtest him out of Ur of the Chaldees. Now, we're looking at our position, who we are now, and realizing the fact that we are the chosen. He said chosen here. Chose Abraham out. He called him out, or chose him, and there he is. And I want to comment a little bit on that, but look in verse number 8, and found us his heart faithful before thee, and made us a covenant with him. Did Abraham have anything to do with this? And I've been asked recently about Calvinism, and so I might as well hit this a lick or two right here and talk about this. God did not predestine anybody to go to hell or anybody to go to heaven. He made the hell for the devil and his angels, and lake of fire made for them. And man, because of his sin, goes there because he rejects Christ and because he is a sinner. And when we talk about that, remember this. You can't talk about God choosing somebody without talking about foreknowledge of God. God knows everything from beginning to, in fact, there is no beginning and there is no end. He just knows right now, present tense. Somebody mentioned to me the other day, I don't remember who it was, talking about the day that Enoch went with God, and it'll be, well, we're talking about heaven, one eternal day. There's no darkness there. There's no night there. It's an eternal day. And Enoch walked with God, was not, for God took him. Somebody said, got late in the day down here, so God took him home that day, and he just never did get back because the day never did end. And I guess that's, you can say that however you want to say it, but I'd say this to you. It's an eternal day coming, amen. And we are have to look at the foreknowledge of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 29 through 31. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And then he said this, for moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And them that he called, whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. I say hallelujah. Now get that. He foreknew, whom he did foreknow, them he predestined, and them he called, them he justified, and them he glorified. And by the way, you and I in this body, we're not in a glorified body yet, but we're going to be in the sight of God. We're just as good as glorified already. Because we're saved by the grace of God. Amen. I like our position. I'm glad I'm called of God. And you try to understand the foreknowledge of God, it's like trying to understand who God is. You can't explain God. God just is. Where did God come? God didn't come from anywhere because God is. And you say, well, that can't be. It's an impossibility with man, it is. And man doesn't know that anything outside of God that didn't have a beginning somewhere. And we talk about the creation of the earth, the hanging the stars. We talk about life beginning, a birth. We've had some new babies born in the church recently. And we talk about all of that. But God, he just is. And he is the great I am that I am. And I can't understand all that. That blows my mind apart. But I know that God is, and that God is eternal, and that God does control it all. God made everything that's made. He knows all about everything. And you can't tell God anything new because he already knows everything. And God knows everything from beginning to end. So therefore, because of the foreknowledge of God, he called Abraham out and chose him. He knew Abraham. He knew what Abraham was going to do with it. And he knows that. That does not change. Now, let me insert this right here. The foreknowledge of God does not change our ability to make a choice. God created man with the ability to choose. And God deals with man, and man makes a choice about what he's going to do, what God deals with him about. If that's not the way it is, then if it's a Calvinistic way, then it means some's going to go to heaven and some's going to go to hell, and you can't do a thing about it. And if you are one of those elect or one of those who are the chosen of God, then you'll be, you can't resist it and you'll be there. And that'll just be it. Now, if it's that way, we'll be wasting our time trying to get people saved, because they might be talking to somebody that's unsavable. And they are unsavable. They don't believe, but if they'll believe, they're savable, as Brother Mitchell said. I can't get away from that. It's whosoever will. And you can't get out of the whosoever wills in the Word of God. They're everywhere. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will is hungry, let him come. Whoever the thirst, let him come. Whosoever. Whosoever. I'm glad it's a whosoever. I got in on a whosoever because I was a whosoever. Amen. I was one of that crowd, but in the mind of God, as a chosen of God and called of God. And I say tonight, I'm glad that we're called of God. Amen. And so that's our position. That's where we are. And but listen, here in this chapter, he looks back to where he'd been, where they had been. And I want you to notice the word and mentioned in this conjunction here. And is mentioned so many times. Look in verse 8, and found us his heart. Look in verse 9, and did us see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt. Verse 10, and show us signs and wonders upon Pharaoh. And verse 11, and thou didst divide the sea before them. And verse 14, and made us known unto them by thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them thy precepts and statutes and laws. And then verse 15, and gave us them bread from heaven. And he keeps going and looking back on their life and what God has done for them. Let me say tonight, in our past, we see what God has done in so many ways. And I'm still thinking about Jubilee now. I'm trying to move on with Jubilee. And I said, what are we going to do now? And we're going to keep receiving our cleansing, but we need to conscientiously, and that means sincerely, and take into account and be real alert to the fact of where we are, our position now. And we're just as saved now as we were in Jubilee. And God's the same God now as he was in Jubilee. And then we see what he has done in the past. In Jubilee, he did great and mighty things. People got real excited and praised God and had thanks and came to the altar and prayed and did business with God. And you know what? He's the same God tonight as he was then. And he will be the same God tomorrow as he is today. And what he has done, he can do. I look back in my life. He picked me up out of sin. He picked you up out of sin. You were out there one day, and you wasn't looking for God unless God had already been searching for you. Adam didn't run out and say, God, I'm looking for you. God came and said, Adam, where art thou? So Adam could find out where he was. God already knew where he was, but he wanted him to find out where he was. And then he cried out to God. And God helped him and slew the animal, made coats. His blood was shed, made the atonement, and so forth. But you remember when God saved you? Some of you do. You remember when God saved you? You remember where he brought you from, out of, and what he brought you into, and what's in your heart? And I've heard many of you testify that what God did for you when he saved you and how he saved you. I say praise God for the day God saved me by his marvelous and wonderful grace. Amen. And I'm looking back on that. If God can do it for me and you, he can do it for others. What he has done, he can still do. And so he can save to the uttermost. These people sitting here tonight that were on drugs, and God saved them by his marvelous grace. There's people here tonight that were drunkards and God saved by his marvelous grace. There's people here that were whoremongers and adulterers and God saved by his marvelous grace. There's people here that was church members but unsaved and God saved by his marvelous grace. And every one needed saving just as much as the other needed saving. I've often mentioned about the three people in the New Testament Jesus raised from the dead. I was Jairus' daughter, about 12 years of age. There's a widow of Nain's son. He was a young man. And there's Lazarus, and he'd been dead 4 days. Widow's son only died recent hours. They had got him ready for burial, been dead a little longer than the girl had. She had just died, hadn't even prepared her to bury her. But Jesus raised every one of them from the dead. Now, Lazarus was no deader than the little girl was. Deader's not a word I don't guess, but it's a good one to put in right there. You can't get deader than dead. And so if you're dead, you're dead, dead, dead. And so Lazarus dead, widow's son was dead, and the little girl Jairus was dead, and Jesus came by and resurrected every one of them. And took, I believe, the same power to resurrect every one of them. Only difference in all three of them was how much corruption had set in. How much corruption had got in. Girl, hardly any at all, just had died. The son of the widow, a little more corruption because been dead a little longer. But Lazarus been dead 4 days, said, but this time he stinketh. And so really, it boils down to the fact that just letting sin corrupt your body, corrupt your life, and leave the scars and the marks and scars upon it. That's why it's important to reach children, young folk for Jesus while they're young, that they might be saved and miss that. They don't have to have that. I'm glad God loves them and God can save them. And somebody thinks somebody's been a real bad person, we would call them, and some kind of a gang and drugs and did all those things and all the horrible thoughts and sin, corruption, and depths of sin. We think about them giving a testimony, how great a testimony. And it is a great testimony. Thank God people like that get saved. But I tell you, when somebody gets up and says, I was a church member and I didn't know Jesus and I was lost, I wasn't a drunkard and I didn't drink drugs and don't know anything about that, but I needed to get saved and they got saved, I believe they got the best testimony of all because they didn't have to go through all that junk and all that. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, I didn't get caught up in that other stuff. I was a church member. I was trying to get to heaven. I wanted to go to heaven. I was trying to hang on, do the best I could. But one Sunday morning, hallelujah, Jesus got me backed up in the corner. And I kept on playing church and kept on trying and kept on doing the best I could, which wasn't good enough because the best you can do is nothing. It's not filthy rags inside of God. And I never could attain that salvation, but I'm glad one day I realized I need to trust Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. And I gave it all up and just said, I need Jesus. Amen. I need Jesus. Now, I went to church before. I still go to church. I went before, one reason why, because I thought I had to. Another reason for it, my wife wanted to go. And I even tithed before I got saved because my wife said we ought to tithe. And so we started tithing and started doing those things, but that didn't help me a bit. And it was all right. I think I ought to have done it, and it was okay to do it, but it sure didn't save me. It didn't get me a bit closer to God. But when Jesus saved me by his marvelous grace and birthed me in the family of God, I got born again. Amen. You say, preacher, we've heard that over and over. You'll probably, if God will give me breath, you'll probably hear it a few more million times before I get out of the pulpit. Not tonight now. I mean my life. I saw some of you turn plumb pale. The blood left all the way. That ran down when I said a million times. Not tonight, not tonight. I'm just talking about preaching and trying to share Jesus Christ. If you're not excited about what God's done for you, then you need to check up on it. Make sure you had God do something for you and know what he did. Amen. Praise God and thank him for it. So looking back on the past and what he has done, what he did for us, I say hallelujah and praise his name. But I want you to notice something. He brought us out, and Abraham, he said, chose Abraham. Brought him out of Ur, the Chaldees, which is a picture of being lost. Talked about bringing him out of Egypt, picture of being in bondage, lost without God. But I want you to notice what he did with Abram. Called him Abraham later. Said, I'm going to bring you into the land of Canaan. And the Canaanites, and you mentioned all those ites down through there. And he said, I'm going to give you their land, and you can possess it. I'm glad God not only brought me out of that bondage of sin, not only brought me out of that pit, not only brought me out of being unsaved and in chains of darkness and being lost without God, but he brought me into the light and took me out of chains and took me out of the pit and took me out of that and put me into something that was better. Amen. I'm glad tonight, thank God. Being saved is not just getting out of going to hell and just getting out of the wreck and the ruin you're in, but thank God it's getting into something better than you ever had. What I got now better than ever had before I got saved. No matter what I had before I got saved, now better. Somebody said the worst day now better than the best day I ever had when I was unsaved. I say hallelujah. That's a good way to put it because I'm saved by the grace of God. Are you saved? Are you really saved? You really know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Thank God for it. But notice he said he taught. Look in verse 13, 14. And thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai and spakest with them from heaven and gavest them right judgment, true laws, good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, commandest them precepts, statutes, laws by thy hand of Moses thy servant. He said he taught them. I'm glad God teaches us and helps us. He take care of them. Look in verse number 15. And gave us them bread from heaven for their hunger, and brought them forth water out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them they should go in and possess the land which thou hast sworn to give them. I want you to look at verse number 20 and 21. Listen closely to it. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them. I say hallelujah. When I got saved, I got some help. Someone to help me and to instruct me. The Holy Spirit of God. And withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, gavest them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lack nothing, their clothes wax not old, and their feet swell not. Now you think about that. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell. That's a miracle in itself. 40 years. You ever had a suit last 40 years? You ever had a shirt last 40 years? I got a few, I believe, been that about that long, but they don't look too good. But I don't believe they've been around quite that long. But I'm telling you that clothes don't last that long, but theirs did. And feet walking every day and doing what they did in a wilderness like they were in, and their feet didn't swell. Some of us tonight will go home to look at our ankles and see how big they're swelled. And think about it. Hey, listen, but their ankles didn't swell. Their feet didn't swell. They didn't. I say praise God. Hallelujah, that's good. But let me give you the potential, and I'll be through tonight. But I've got the last point I want to give you, and I'll give you that next week, Lord willing, because it's the one I really wanted to get to. But these other two just were there. And so we looked at them. What are we going to do now? Jubilee's come and gone. We're here, sitting in the church. God wants us to remember, wants to get our cleansing, keep on getting cleansed every day, confessing to God, and continual cleansing. Wants us to consider his choosing of us, who we are, where we are, how God put us here. We're not here by accident. We're here by God's divine will. Now, look in verse number 23. Here's a potential, and I close with it. Their children also multipliest thou as the stars of heaven, brought them into the land concerning which thou hast promised to their fathers that they should go in and possess it. So the children went in and possessed the land, and thou subduest before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gavest them into the hands with their kings and the people of their land, they might do with them as they would. They took strong cities and a fat land, and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards and olive yards, fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. I say hallelujah. What a potential. He said, I'm breaking you into the land, giving you a land. Your children are going to multiply and going to have children and going to grow as a nation. And said, I'm going to give you lands full of meat to eat, full of good things, vineyards and all that. I say to you tonight now, I'm not preaching a prosperous physical gospel. I am preaching this, though. It's a prosperous gospel. It will help. Amen. It will help you. It will sustain you. It will keep you. And thank God we can live in Canaan. And we can possess the land. And we can enjoy the fruit of it. And not only enjoy the fruit of it, but what really stuck with me about the potential is, he said, you're going to go in and take it. And we're going to add to your number. And I'm saying tonight, we've had Jubilee. Let's continue asking God to cleanse us day by day. Let's think about what God's done for us, his choosing of us. We're here, we're in this place. And even God chose Gateway to use him as one of many churches across America that has something like that to help preachers and help people. But God did put us here for a purpose, not just Jubilee, but for a purpose every day of the year. And that is that others may see Jesus Christ and come to know him as their Lord and their Savior. I thank God for missionaries. I'm glad God let us get involved in mission work. I am thankful for what God's doing there. I'm glad for what God's doing in Jubilee. I'm glad for what God's doing other. I want to see God do something now. I want to see God work in hearts now, bring people to Christ. And I believe that we are seeing God work. And I don't want to minimize that. I believe we are seeing. I believe Sunday I saw something I've been praying for, asking God for, and God did. I say hallelujah. I praise God. Didn't make the move I want to see him make, but they got started in the right direction. I say thank God for it. Gonna keep praying, believing God. And I got others I'm trying to get in. You're trying to get in. Other people we need to get in, get right with God. I say tonight, let's get busy with it and do everything we can to get others to come and try to get that. If we'll do everything that God wants us to do, I guarantee you there'll be somebody come to church. You ask enough people and keep on after enough people and do it with love and compassion in your heart, there'll be somebody to come to church. You can't drive them. You can't make them. You can't do that. But you can sure love them. You can good southern word. You can show them some southern hospitality, amen, and love in your heart that you want to help them and get them in. You want them to enjoy what you're enjoying. Now, let me say this to you tonight. There may be some here tonight that you've paid little or no attention to what I've had to say. Didn't make any difference to you one way or the other. You're just here. Young person, you're just here. Or adult, either one, just here. I pray tonight that God, during the invitation, just wake your heart up to the fact that this is God's word. Amen. We're going to meet God. Give an account to God. Give an answer to him. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the blessed word of God, a truth, the reality. Thank you that we can be in the house of God and can hear. Now I thank you, Lord, that it's precious and blessed. And I'm thinking tonight about all that we heard during Jubilee, to challenge our hearts, to encourage our hearts, to help us to do what we ought to do, and Lord, to get self out of the way. And to let you have your way. I thank you for challenging my heart and stirring my soul. Now I ask you in Jesus' name to help me day by day to realize, God, the cleansing that I need. I thank you for Calvary. I'm glad for the day you saved me. But you said if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ. His Son cleanses us from all sin. Lord, help us continue to walk in that light. And the cleansing from sin by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Then I pray you'd help us, God, to conscientiously really think about who we are, that you chose us, put us here. And Father, that we're here by divine guidance and divine help. And Lord, in all that you are and who you are, we cannot comprehend the fullness of you. But Lord, help us to depend on you. And to learn that we don't have to understand everything about you, but we have to learn to totally depend upon you. And help us try to reach others for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you do. There may be somebody here tonight that you spoke to their heart, you dealt with their life, and they need to come. I pray they do that in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You stand, please.